It's a League Cup final special for the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Lewis Irons, and as always, I'm joined by Greg Patterson from the Scottish FA. But in this episode, you're in for a treat with Livingston's Nicky Devlin joining us ahead of Sunday's showdown with St Johnstone to go through his coaching journey. Another edition of the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast. As always, I'm joined by Greg Patterson, and this week it's Cup Final Special. Delighted to say we're joined by Livingston's Nicky Devlin. Nicky, thank you very much, and this week of all weeks, for taking the time out to join us.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to it. Just looking forward to get going.
Absolutely. Greg, well, I've given it the introduction of Cup Final Special. What an opportunity, though, to speak to someone like Nicky. We've got plenty of topics to discuss and go through when we look back on his coaching journey and what's to come for him as well. Still only 27, plenty of game time ahead of him. But in terms of this week of all weeks, what an opportunity this is.
Brilliant. Great to get him. Cup final week, it didn't work out. We tried to nab him a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? But he had to change his plans because of the snow. So, no, it's good to get him, particularly, as you say, this week leading up to the cup final. That just gives Connor no room for error at all. He's got to get it out before the cup final now, hasn't he? So, no, great to speak to Nicky. I've known Nicky for many, many years. So, looking forward to hearing his stories.
Yeah, just before we do, go straight over to Nicky and get into it, Greg. A little bit of background between yourself and Nicky. You mentioned you go back a wee bit. You remember him coaching your kids at one point, I'm sure, before that as well.
Yeah, before that, even I remember Nicky's a nipper. I played for his dad at Drumchapel Amateurs, the famous Drumchapel Amateurs, the mighty drum. I was a development officer at Glasgow at the time, so I think we're going back, Nicky. I think I'm going back 18 years, I think I worked out earlier, yeah. which is scary. So I think he'd have been 8 or 9 at the time, and I remember Nicky used to run about the change room and kick a ball about with you at half time, or probably kick a ball about with me because I was a sub most of the time. And then of course, you know, you kind of grow apart. I left the drum, and you know, Nicky carried on with his youth career, and you know, I think you were into cross country running as a kid as well. You might touch on that and the benefits that's given you. And then it's funny how life evolves all of a sudden. Here I am 4 or 5 years ago taking my kids to a mini kickers class, and who's their coach is the young Ayr United player but Nicky Devlin.
full circle.
Yeah, complete full circle, I think that is.
Absolutely. Well, just going all the way back, Nicky, to those early days when you were growing up, it's something that we like to ask the guests in the podcast who their earliest inspiration was in terms of getting into the game and then pursuing a career in football. Who were your kind of early aspirations, whether that be players or people in your own life?
It was genuinely probably quite a common answer, but it genuinely was my dad. It's ever since kind of I've been able to remember, to be honest, I've been round football. He's always been involved in amateur football, and as Greg touched on, he was manager at Drumchapel for I don't know how many years, to be honest with you. And I was always just brought up going to the games every Saturday. I'd play my football in the morning, and then straight away jump in with my dad when he's driving wherever it may be. And I think it done me well, to be fair. I was always, from a young age, I was always in that, obviously it was nothing to do with me, the games, but I was always in that atmosphere and that kind of that environment of guys playing, and you know what I mean, they wanted to play to win. It wasn't kind of, although, listen, it was amateur, but it's not as if it's guys only, they don't want to win the games, they want to win. There's a lot at stake. There's trophies, a chance to play at Hampden and stuff like that. So it was competitive. And I think that was good for me. I was always around that environment.
Nicky touched on it. It is a common answer than people touch on their dad. But Nicky touching on that environment that you grow up in, that becomes infectious, Greg. And it seems to have certainly played a big part for Nicky.
He's probably doing his dad in a bit. His dad certainly used the word infectious there. His dad still badgers me every now and again for stuff. He's quite right. His dad's very, very infectious, and he was very good at getting people round about him to help him in his quest to make Drumchapel Amateurs, you know, the very best amateur team that he could. And, you know, I played at a few senior clubs in my time, not to the same level that Nicky's playing, but, you know, Drumchapel Amateurs, in terms of the way Charlie had it all organised and delivered with the committee and everything there at the club, was fantastic. You know, it was as well run, if not better run than some senior clubs at the time, and you know, probably still is, but the way Charlie operates. So yeah, you're right, that whole environment that his dad created there at Drumchapel Amateurs, that Nicky was then, you know, afforded opportunity to even just be around the place. And, you know, as he says, just seeing the guys under a wee bit of pressure, maybe on a Saturday, or picking up wee pointers. And, you know, he would always, as I say, be kicking a ball about, and just being in that environment was, you know, must have served him well. It must have.
I'm assuming as well, Nicky, you know, throughout your career, throughout any player's career, managers, coaches, they'll come and go. Your old man will always be supporting you throughout. That's the constant that you'll have. He must still play a major role in that, I'm sure.
Yeah, he still, especially kind of, I probably didn't appreciate it as much until maybe I moved down south. And, you know, every second week, like, my mum and dad were down to Walsall to watch my games every second week. And as I say, I probably didn't appreciate it when I was up here earlier in my career. And you just think the games are local. It's, of course, they're there, whatever. But it was like, say, when I went down south, and they would travel down every second week for every home game. And if they were not easy to get to, but if it was quite comfortable for them to get to the away games, they were down there as well. You know what I mean? My dad was down at Doncaster and stuff like that, Sunderland. So you know what I mean? I don't think I've really appreciated that until I probably moved down south, and you kind of see the miles that they're clocking up. You know what I mean? It was both my parents, to be fair.
Yeah, that's huge support. I want to go, obviously, to your first spell at Dumbarton back 2009, winding the clock back a little bit here, but working under Jim Chapman initially, your breakthrough coming in 2010-11. What do you recall of those early days when you went into Dumbarton working under Jim Chapman?
Yeah, it was good. I was really young. I think I was probably 16 at the time when I first kind of started training with the first team. As I said, just training, to be honest with you. I was playing with under-17s, and a lot of the time I was getting, as I say, called up to kind of train with the first team. And it was a big eye-opener because it's completely different. There's not really anything to prepare you for a first-team environment, especially when you're kind of that young. And obviously it took me probably until, I think I was a week after my 17th birthday that I made my debut. So just missed making my debut when I was 16 by about a week, I think. But yeah, I was obviously, Jim Chapman gave me my debut, and kind of I was delighted when I was able to do that. I think it's everybody's kind of, every kid's dream, you know what I mean, to play, just to play professional, you know, as I said, any level. And to do that when I was, as I said, just turned 17, I was delighted.
Yeah, we hear that fairly regularly, Greg, about the challenge for young boys going into a first team environment, no matter what level you're talking here. That's a huge challenge for a lot of players, and coaches obviously have to, over the years, that's probably developed a little bit from a coaching aspect, but integrating a young player into an older group can bring its challenges for everyone.
Can bring its challenges, can bring its, you know, question, when do you do it? When's the right time to do it? And I think, just funny when you're mentioning names there as well, but Graham Diamond, I think, was probably quite influential in that, you would agree. And I know Graham listens to the podcast, and Graham still tutors a lot for us on our coach education courses, but Graham and Charlie, Nicky's dad, are good friends. Graham's a good friend of Jim Chapman's, and things, looking back on it now, Nicky, I think that kind of happened that way, that, you know, Graham almost persuaded Chappie to take you into Dumbarton, I think I'm right in saying.
Yeah, because I was kind of youth team player at Drumchapel at the time. I'd left Hamilton a couple of years before, and I was playing with one of the Drumchapel amateurs youth teams. And it was through Graham. Graham kind of said to Jim that, you know, I mean, he thought I'd be worth a shot, worth a look at anyway. And as I said, I kind of went in with the under-17s. And as you said, the kind of the step up, I think, from boys going from youth to first team is such a, it's hard, it's the intensity is completely different. But, I mean, the thing I thank probably my dad most for is I felt quite comfortable in that environment quite early. And I think that was due to the fact I was always brought up in a dressing room that was full of adults anyway. It wasn't something new to me. Of course, maybe players or whatever standard, whatever better intensity, but I was used to that environment from early on.
Yeah.
See that one you've mentioned there, sorry, Lewis. See that one you've mentioned there, Nicky. It's quite an interesting one. Were you never? I know you had spells in our development squads. If you look back, I know you were in Scottish FA development squads and things like that with Andy Gould, I think, in the central region at the time. Like, were you never at a club then? I know you said you went from Drumchapel amateurs to Dumbarton. Were you never in a kind of pro youth setup anywhere?
I was Hamilton for
three
years, I think, probably up until under 15s. And then under fifth, when I was moving into, because I think Hamilton at the time, you went 15s, 17s.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be right. And then 17s, 19s. So I left it under 15s at Hamilton and went to Drumchapel from there.
Yeah, because that for me, Lewis, is an interesting one. Is, you know, just the, you know, I think that goes to show there's more than one pathway. I think a lot of maybe parents or other coaches that listen to this and they don't get a young player into an academy at a young age, you know, there is more than one pathway. You know, you've not necessarily not made it because you're not in it. No. You know, Rangers or Celtic or Hearts or Hibs or whatever it might be as a young player. There's a, you know, a great story from Nicky in that, I think, you know, in Hamilton when he was maybe 12, 13 for a couple of years, back out, but then managed to get an opportunity back in and has obviously kicked on since then.
Absolutely. You moved, obviously, to Motherwell in 2011, Nicky, and how did you find that step going from Dumbarton to Motherwell and obviously at a young age? 2011, of course, is when you got called up to Scotland under-19s as well, so probably a big spell of your young career at that point.
Yeah, well, I think the call-up just came just before I'd went to Motherwell, so you kind of get the list out of all the players that have been called up and obviously had all the names, and it was like Tottenham, Celtic, Rangers, Dumbarton, blah, blah, blah. So at first I was kind of like, it was always a wee bit surreal that way, and it was actually my PE teacher that told me. Actually pulled me in and told me the school had received, because I was going to have to, I was obviously the only one that would have to take, I had took a week out of school, and it was a lead up to my exams. So actually when we were away, we were in Denmark with under-19s. When we were away, I actually had to have a room myself because I had to go back early from the trip because I had higher English. So I was in a room myself so that I was able to study at night. And as I said, I flew back. I only played one of the games. I flew back early to do my exams. So it was actually the teacher that taught me at first. But yeah, obviously then the move to Motherwell came about. And listen, I was delighted to, as I said, you want to be a full-time, yeah, we younger boy, you want to be a full-time footballer. You kind of, that's what you dream of when you're younger. And then I got the opportunity. I was delighted to sign there. And it was a great kind of, great academy they've got at Motherwell just now. They produce players kind of non-stop. So to be joining that at the time, I was delighted.
Yeah, of course. And you had a good spell with the youth teams, didn't you? You had a racked up the appearances, but then obviously a couple of loan spells followed, which, for a young player, Nicky, I mean, that's crucial to get out on loan. Again, we speak about that youth team environment being, you know, very successful at Motherwell, but that first team environment for a young boy to progress has got to be crucial, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think that would be, if I was thinking about my time at Motherwell, that would probably be my only potential regret, that I wasn't more patient when I was there, because I think I was different from all the other youth team boys. I was used to Saturday at 3 o'clock. Like, that's when you went to work almost. That's what your week was built up to. And then when I first went into Motherwell, my week was built up to, it could have been a Monday afternoon, a Friday afternoon. And then I was in the house. I'm sitting in the house when all the scores are coming in on a Saturday. And it was like, I'm used to being involved in it. And I think that's one thing I wish I was more patient at Motherwell, in terms of as soon as it almost happened, I was like, I want to go on loan. I want to go back and I want to play again on a Saturday, because I think that's what I felt was, not the be-all and end-all, but that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to play first-team football. And as I said, yeah, I think I would, looking back, I think I could have probably been more patient in terms of, I mean, just maybe staying at Motherwell, playing with the youth team and hopefully, you know what I mean, you maybe got your opportunity. But I just think it was as I said, I came through differently. I came through playing the games before I was in full time. So it was just something that, you know what I mean, I probably couldn't get away from.
Yeah, of course. And that workload that you're putting in, when you're talking about sitting in, doing your schoolwork while you're, you know, representing, yeah, you know, and playing football at that sort of level, hearing that, Greg, is quite something, isn't it?
Just goes to show that commitment and dedication from some of the young players, and yeah. Mickey's wouldn't have been the first player to do that, and certainly won't be the last either, but it just goes to show the amount of different things. And even Nicky chatting there about that, I suppose his perspective as a player's perspective of going from playing at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to not playing at 3 in the afternoon because he's maybe jumped a few levels, and no disrespect to Dumbarton, but because he's jumped a few levels, then that was what had to happen. But from a coach's perspective, you know, is the coach properly, have they properly thought about that kind of psychology of Nicky as the young player? And you know, there'll be countless players out there just now that have also done similar, you know, getting signed from lower leagues to hopefully bigger clubs. And, you know, almost we talk about this being the, you know, Nicky chatting about his journey on this podcast, but I think the coach has got to be aware of the player's journey as well to get the very best from the player. And the more I'm involved in, you know, I'm on calls this week with UEFA, and it's just communication is the one thing that just, whether it's a B license, A license, it's always about communication and how you communicate with your players, with your staff. We were talking about staff this week from a fitness perspective with UEFA, but that communication just comes out in buckets and spades all the time about how we've just got to, you know, consider the likes of Nicky there. And, you know, was, as he said, was it the right thing for him? It could have been, but he maybe just didn't feel it was because he missed and craved that Saturday afternoon so much.
Yeah, and I'm sure, Nicky, when you were playing alongside maybe boys that hadn't had that experience of 3 o'clock on a Saturday, there's probably a different mentality for, maybe not such a good thing for these boys that aren't getting it week in, week out. Maybe they don't have that similar drive to get out and play what might be deemed at a lower club, you know. Yeah. But that obviously has worked out in your long-term development. You describe it as a bit of a regret, but that drive is probably something that's stuck with you throughout your career, I'm assuming, as well.
Yeah, and listen, I got, from a, as I said, from a very young age, I was able to get experience of first team football. And, you know, I mean, I think a lot of the time you see boys getting to the end of their careers at an academy, and I mean, they could be 20, 21, and they've not really played any football, whereas I was probably the opposite. I didn't really have the academy kind of upbringing, but I played a lot of first team games. So, listen, it's just different. It's different pathways, isn't it? It's different ways to maybe get to where you are. And kind of the one that suited me the best, I felt, was playing games all the time. And that's probably why I didn't push for it, but that's why I wanted to keep playing even when I went to Motherwell.
Yeah.
And Nicky, if you don't mind me jumping in here as well, I always remember your dad chatting about you being, you know, having a good engine. I remember when you were a kid, your dad always used to say you had a good engine. And I mentioned cross country, and I might have been right or wrong, but you know, that was part of your kind of upbringing as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, like majorly. Up until I probably left Hamilton. That's when at the time I was used to do athletics quite a bit, cross country and athletics, because obviously cross country was more winter, athletics was summer. So I kind of done both, and I think it's a major part of my games, probably, as you said, being able to get up and down power. And I think a lot of that does come from athletics background.
Yeah.
I got to a stage where I was then trying to do both, play football and compete. But, you know, the people I was competing against in athletics were starting to train 3-4 times a week. I mean, I was already training football 3-4 times a week, so I just couldn't have... It was at a stage where you had to go one way. And I decided, obviously, to concentrate more on football. But it definitely was a big part of, especially, well, me growing up and kind of my fitness wise and stuff like that. I mean, pride myself on that. And yeah, I mean, the running and athletic stuff was definitely a major part of that.
Yeah.
A whole other debate, isn't it, about early specialisation? You know, you see so many parents, kids, you know, just going in, putting their eggs in one basket and that being football. And just that, yeah, you know, is that early specialisation the right thing to do?
Yeah, no, definitely. Even with athletics and stuff, I went and competed different places all over the world, and over to Sweden, like Birmingham, all different kind of competitions. Mm-hmm. And I think that even those experiences, as I said, might not be football, but just those experiences of competing in different environments.
How to prepare, right, how to recover, right, all that stuff, yeah. Exactly.
And because I was almost training, you know what I mean, nearly every day of the week, it meant I had to then, I mean, prepare properly all the time. You always had to, I mean, start looking at other things other than just being able to compete.
Yeah. I'm a little bit similar. I was into the 100 metres, and I was an old, I think I said this before, an old schoolboy signing at Celtic, back however many 30 odd years or whatever. And I got to the final of the Scottish 100 metres, schools, Scottish 100 metres. And I remember just exactly what you're saying, Nicky. I remember standing at the starting line for the 100 metres, and everybody kind of disappeared. And I'm looking around, mate. They've all got spikes on. They've all got starting blocks. And here I am standing with a pair of Adidas Sambas on, ready to run this 100 metres. But you're, and it was at that point, you're right, you've got to make a decision then, because you were decent at kind of two things. I maybe made the wrong decision right enough going into football. You've made the right decision, but you're right. I think those different upbringings, playing different sports, definitely helps people in the long run, definitely.
I didn't have Greg down as a sprinter, I've got to be honest, Nicky. I didn't peg him for that.
Yeah. No, that bit is it's one of them. I think you try and do as many sports and that as long as you can, but I think that ultimately there is going to be a point where you do maybe have to pick one and put everything you've got into that one.
Yeah.
As we move on through your career, Nicky, obviously those loan spells we spoke about. Got to get a shout out from our old man in there, don't I? My dad, you played under him at Stenny briefly as well. And of course, you then made a permanent move to Stenny. But what was that sort of spell of your career like? You touched on the loan spells, but then moving on permanently to Stenishmuir after Motherwell as well.
Yeah, probably moving on to Stenishmuir permanently after Motherwell. It was, I don't know if it was a bit of a shock or a kind of culture shock, but I had obviously been part-time before, got the opportunity to go full-time, and then I'd went back the way again, or back to part-time football, which for me at first, I probably struggled with it at first, just in terms of, I mean, you're on that high of when you become a full-time footballer, and I was maybe dragged into the thought of, I'm a footballer now, and that's what I am, I'm a full-time footballer, that's what I do for a living. Whereas, I mean, 2 years later, it can just be as quickly taken away, and that's the way it worked. I ended up going to Stenhousemuir and signing on a permanent, and then, I'm at an age now that was easier before when I was maybe still at home and stuff. I was at an age that, you have to go and get a job. You can't rely on just being a part-time footballer. So that was a bit of a difference for me, a bit of a kind of shock that, now you're out in the real world. You might be back playing on a Saturday, which you wanted all the time, but now you have to go and get a job. You have to, be able to, provide and make money. So, yeah, that was a bit of a shock at first when I first left Motherwell, I think.
Yeah. And of course, at that sort of point, I know that when you moved to Ayr in 2014, you started doing a bit of coaching as well as playing. And when you were at Stenny, was that starting to seep into your mind a little bit, the thought of coaching as well? Was that something that came quite early for you to think about?
Yeah, I think so. I wasn't involved in any coaching at Stenhousemuir or anything. I used to work in a bar in the West End of Glasgow, in a hotel. So that was my part-time job when I was at Stenhousemuir. But it was always kind of in the back of my mind that it was something I wanted to get involved in. Obviously, as I said again, probably touching back on it again, but it was probably because I was always involved in an environment that was always just football, football, football. So it was something that, I'd have liked to have thought, eventually it's something I can be involved in and hopefully make a career out of it after I've stopped playing. And that's obviously what happened when I eventually moved to Ayr United.
Of course, and that's where
you... It's even interesting looking back though, isn't it? With that move to Stenny. Nicky, do you think that helped develop a resilience? It took as you've described it, it was a bit of a shock to you. So has that developed a kind of resilience in you, you think, as you look back on it now?
No, definitely. I think eventually when I left Ayr and went back full time to when I went down to Walsall, and the kind of three and a bit years I've been full time since, I've never took a day for granted. Like, I've never went into training and kind of thought, can't be bothered today, had that attitude. And I think that's because, I had the high of going full-time, had to go back part-time, to be given a second opportunity to go full-time again. It was a major, I can't let this go this time. This is, you've got to do extra, you've got to work harder, you've got to do everything better than anyone else, because, listen, there's thousands and thousands of people out there that want to be where you are. And I think that's it that kind of that built the resilience up in me, in terms of, I didn't want to go back part-time again. I had to, when I got that opportunity to go full-time, I had to make sure I stayed there.
Absolutely. That move to Ayr, of course, 2014, when you look at your playing, you know, career, that was obviously a springboard to your move down south, but over 100 appearances in a 3-year spell, and I know you were coaching whilst playing at Ayr as well. How that spell of your career, how did you enjoy that aspect of doing the two?
Yeah, I think, listen, it was probably the most, and obviously now at Livingston as well, but before Livingston, it was probably the most enjoyable part of my career so far. As you said, I was coaching, you know, I mean, doing the community coaching stuff during the day, and then we obviously trained a couple of times at night, and I mean, the academy there were brilliant with me, to be honest with you. Davey White and Sean Ferry, they were. They allowed me to push my training around when I was able to coach, and probably let me away with a lot more than maybe they should have, or they would let other people. But they were brilliant, just even in terms of starting to get on the kind of coaching ladder in terms of doing your badges and stuff. When you're working with there, the academy, they put you through everything. So they obviously organise all the courses for you to go and do, which was brilliant, you know what I mean, and something that kind of I've got a lot to thank for.
Yeah, and you must have been a fairly young lad, Greg. Obviously your path's kind of crossed at this point, but you must have been, what, 20, 21 or something at that point, Nicky?
Yeah, 20. I kind of started doing working with the academy in my second year at Ayr. So I would have been 20 in my second year, yeah. So for 2 years I was working with the academy there, and as I said, they were brilliant for me. They let me not concentrate in football, but everything kind of evolved around being able to play football as well, and the coaching experiences was brilliant for me.
You've got first-hand experience of it, Greg, coming across Nicky at Ayr, coaching your kids.
Yeah, community programme, and you take the kids along the community programme, because I'm down here in Troon in the kind of southwest of Scotland, and you know, that was the kind of closest one. And just as Nicky mentioned, got in touch with Sean Ferry and said, I bring the kids along, and you turn up and here's Nicky coaching them, which was just, I think it was you and Alan Forrest, actually, funnily enough, when you look at it now. And you know, and it's just incredible to see, and it's testament again to these guys, and we talk about resilience and we talk about all these things, but working with four, I think my kids would only been, if you're talking 2014, Nicky, my kids would only been 2 or 3 then. It was mini kickers, you know, real young mini kickers he was working with, and that develops a resilience. That's a different kind of resilience altogether.
Yeah, listen, sometimes you got the, obviously I used to do a lot of the Citadel down in there, and as you said, you've got a class full of maybe, I mean, a lot of kids that are, as you said, 2, 3, 4 year old. Jeez. At times it can be difficult, but you mean that's when you probably get so, like, probably more enjoyment than anything else, when you see how happy these kids are to, yeah. You're trying to maybe at times not put sessions on, but have wee games and stuff for them to play, and at times they just want to run and kick the ball into the goal, and they kind of, when you see them, how happy they get just kicking the ball into the goal, it kind of takes away all the not the pressure or anything, but the stress or whatever of trying to organise a class like that. But I mean, that's, they were really good in terms of having players at Ayr United. They liked having players doing the academy stuff for them. I think it worked out well in terms of probably attracting some of the kids to be able to go to the classes as well, knowing that they were maybe able to coach, or they were going to be coached by a player. So no, it was really good, and yeah, it was an eye opener at first, but I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it.
You obviously spoke about some of your experiences as a player, Nicky, going part-time, full-time, dropping back and what that can do. At Ayr, as a player, you had obviously highs and lows, didn't you? Experiencing that promotion, yeah, to the Championship, and then the relegation the following season. That must be something you can learn from, obviously, as a player first and foremost, but take through your career, having those highs and lows that are challenges and obviously great moments to enjoy as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's probably biggest thing is to appreciate. I probably appreciate the highs a wee bit more now, because even when we got promoted there, I think I was 21. So I was still, I mean, young into my kind of my playing career. And you just think, oh, this is going to happen. This will happen every year. You just think, I mean, it's always going to be positive. It's always going to be, I'm going to win trophies, going to do this, going to do that. And ultimately, the reality is it's not, unless you're playing for one of the top two probably in Scotland. You're not guaranteed to win trophies every year. It was full of kind of full ups and downs. There was never kind of a dull season. The first season, we were probably lucky to lucky to stay up kind of on the last day. You know what I mean? Then you get promoted, and then obviously, unfortunately, you get relegated from the Championship the next year. But yeah, plenty of highs and lows, to be fair.
Yeah. Even that as well, from your own development as a player, Nicky, again, probably stands you in good stead, you know, because, you know, getting those different experiences, you say, highs and lows, battling relegation, getting promotion, you're still talking about yourself as being 20, 21, experiencing all those different things. That, again, that'll stand you in good stead as you look forward.
Yeah, and I think, obviously, the second and third year, I was captain down there, so... Yeah. Getting obviously my first year as captain at the club, we get promoted. You know what I mean? I probably felt on a higher. I was probably felt higher than any of them, any other players, just because of, you mean, you feel like you've really contributed. And then, but on the flip side, again, the next year I was obviously captain, we get relegated. It probably affected me. I felt it probably affected me more than maybe some others, just because you feel that added responsibility. You know what I mean? It's not your team if you're the captain, but you feel the kind of, you're meant to be the one that leads them out it and be able to get results when maybe you shouldn't. And obviously we weren't able to do that the second year, but as you said, in the long run, kind of over my career, it's probably served me quite well.
To get the armband at such a young age as well, it must be such a big experience. And obviously you go down south with that experience under your belt, you know, skipping Air United, and you're going back full time, but you're moving away. It's a big challenge, I'm sure, that move that you made.
Yeah, there was probably quite a lot of jumps all at once, to be honest with you. As you said, kind of moving, completely moving countries, moving to leagues that I'd never been involved in, moving from, again, part time back to full time, and it was a big kind of a big eye opener, to be honest with you. It's very, especially moving back full time. Down in England, it's very demanding. The seasons are, I mean, a lot of games down there, and it's kind of relentless. Saturday, Tuesday. So I almost felt at times that I was probably still part-time, just had all these extra games because you weren't able to train a lot. Especially with the travelling. And as I said, your games are almost Saturday, Tuesday, nearly every week, to be honest with you. So it was a big eye opener moving back down. But listen, I loved playing in England. I loved kind of going and playing in stadiums that I'd never been to before. Some of the teams I'd never seen, played against. Obviously, so I really enjoyed being down there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I was mentioning that there, Greg. The responsibility of having the armband here at such a young age, and then making that move. It's, you know, as a young guy, Nicky's racking up a lot of experience in different ways, both positive, negative, like relegation, like we touched on. And then making that move away from home at a young age is a lot for a young player. So coaches, when players arrive there, I know when you went down there, Nicky, John Whitney got sacked in your first season, so it was quite a turbulent first season, I'm sure. But when coaches welcome a new young player, Greg, they'll have to take into account all this background and moving away at a young age. It's a big challenge.
I just think listening to Nicky and his journey and all those experiences, you call it, you know, we've spoke for years and years, haven't we, about the 10,000 hour rule, and then that's kind of been blown out of the water recently, particularly for footballers. And I can't remember who I first heard coining it, but they talked about, I think it was Nick Cox, actually, maybe when he was on this podcast, was it? And he talked about it's better for a footballer to get 10,000 different experiences.
Yeah, yeah.
Those 10,000 different experiences could be, as Nicky's went through, fighting relegation, winning promotion, moving down south, playing in different stadiums, as nobody used to, getting used to different managers for all these different clubs, going from full-time to part-time. What a great upbringing he's had to encapsulate all those different experiences. I keep saying the same thing, but hopefully stands him in good stead. And I'm just amazed as well when Nicky says he's only been back playing full-time for 3.5 years. You know, and here he is sitting, hopefully, well, I'm not saying hopefully, he has got a cup final this weekend.
I know. So when you came back up to Scotland, Nicky, in 2019, did you feel like a much more rounded player at that point because of everything you'd gone through? Did you come back to Livingston with almost something to prove up here again, in a way?
Yeah, to be fair, I was excited to come back up, just in terms of, I had never played, obviously, in the Premier League up here. When I was at Ayr, we were in the Championship, so it was... I felt it was like a big opportunity to come back up, as I said, to play in top league, which I hadn't played in before. And listen, the experience of playing down there obviously was hopefully going to stand me in good stead. I had a spell in my first year when I was down there. The manager was really good with me, and I think he identified the fact that I came from part-time, because he actually, after about 10, 11 games, he pulled me in and he said, listen, you've been brilliant, but we just feel with the workload, with the game, like, we're going to take you out for a couple of weeks. So I had a spell out the team as well, which I think at the time I didn't think was needed, but in the long run, again, probably was the right thing to do. And even with that, you know what I mean, I was still, I mean, I probably still played, I mean, nearly 80, 90 games down there. And I think, you, as I said, the experience of playing so many games, and again, against teams that I'd never played against, as against stadiums I'd never been in, it was good for me. And that's why, I mean, when I came back up, I felt probably ready to go into the Premier League. I could have listened. There was an opportunity to go to the Premier League when I first left there, before I signed for Walsall. But I think the 2 years in Walsall definitely prepared me better for going into the Premier League than if I'd left there and went straight there.
Mm-hmm. It's a good example of coaching there that Nicky touches on, when he was just taking out the team, taking out of that firing line for a few weeks in terms of just to help his performances. And it's, Nicky touched on it, the player might not always receive that very well, but having the balls to do that and to say to him, I'm going to drop you out, is clever management in many ways moving forward and looking at the bigger picture, isn't it?
Again, resilience. How does Nicky deal with it? Speed bumps in the road. How does he deal with those speed bumps? How does he get over, meander around them to make himself a better player? And that, he's saying, you know, it's interesting to get his take on this one. You know, he might not have felt he needed it, but in hindsight, looking back, has it made him better? Has it made him stronger? Did he start behaving in different ways or doing different things because of that time that he had out? Maybe.
Yeah, it was one of them. As you said, like, as a player, the manager tells you, I mean, you're going to come out. You need a rest. Obviously, you've came from part time to full time. My first reaction was like, no, don't.
I'm fine.
I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm ready to play. But as you said, in the long term, it probably, because at first, obviously, when I first came out, you're starting to think all straight away, you're like, was this the right move? Was I right to come down here? Should I have just stayed up the road where maybe I was comfortable? You know what I mean? I knew the leagues, I knew who I was playing against, I knew all the players. But then obviously in the back of your mind as well, it's a case of, well, no, like, I'm happy I made the decision I've made. Like, I want to stick to it. I want to get through this wee kind of maybe sticky spell or whatever it is. And listen and kick on, and that's what hopefully I proved that I'd done. Because obviously once I got back in the kind of team, I stayed back in, and I probably was proven it was right, the decision I made.
Absolutely. When you came back to Livingston then, and a couple of years ago, working under Gary Holt initially, yep. Great success in the league, getting that top half finishing fifth. How did you adapt to life under Gary Holt? It seemed to just kind of catch fire a wee bit initially.
Yeah, we were great. We had a great start to the season, to be fair, which was not totally unexpected, because Livingston had done really well in the year previous. They started the season brilliant and maybe tailed off towards. Listen, we knew we had a good squad there last year. And I think, I mean, in the end, it was the club's second best ever finish in terms of league position, which, I mean, unbelievable achievement for everyone involved. And obviously, I missed quite a bit, probably about two-thirds of the season, unfortunately. But listen, I enjoyed my first year, and kind of looking at this year, I wanted to kick on, because, as I said, I'd missed quite a lot of last season through injury.
Yeah. Well, if you considered that first year a success for the club, then this year is obviously just ramping up through the roof a bit. How's everything been this? Obviously, we're in League Cup final week. It's a huge week for you. How's it been this season?
Yeah, I think, listen, getting into every season, I think your first aim is, like, how do we better last season? And I think for us, obviously, it was always going to be difficult, because we were, as I said, we had achieved the club's second best ever league finish last year. So it was almost as like, to go again and do that again, you're going to have to be, you know, very, very good. And we've, listen, we're in currently, we're in the same league position as we finished last season. And obviously we've got, you know, the added bonus of going on a good cup run this year, which we maybe didn't have last year. We're maybe a wee bit unlucky. I think we drew Rangers in one of the cups last year. So managed to, listen, maybe avoid, you got to have that wee bit of luck in terms of the draws, and we maybe managed to avoid playing, I mean, Rangers, how good they've been this year, and managed to get to a cup final. So it's looking like another good season for the club, but I mean, we could really turn it into a great season.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to speak about Davey Martindale as well and the influence that he's had on you boys and you in particular. I'm sure that a lot of the players at Livingston, he's been a big influence at the club for a while with his management. It's been a big season for him as well as a person, as a manager, obviously coming through that and getting the all clear, the approval from the SFA as well was a massive moment for him personally.
Yeah, obviously the players were delighted when it was hard for us because he'd been the manager for a few games before that decision was made. So it was almost like we know that obviously whatever was happening elsewhere, we couldn't influence that. That was obviously nothing to do with us. So when he obviously got the news, we were, I mean, as a squad and coaching staff, everybody, we were all delighted because it was maybe a weight off his back more than anything for the players. And obviously with the start he had his management career was no bad. I'm sure he would take that 16 games from for the rest of his career if he's going to win that many. So he'd been very good since he's came in, but I'm sure he'll be the kind of first to admit we felt almost unlucky with the first half of the season. There wasn't a lot in. There wasn't big drastic changes. There wasn't a whole new squad came in. We just weren't getting that wee bit of luck, and we were maybe making the mistakes that we wouldn't normally make at the start of the season. And since he's come in, we've maybe eradicated that. And listen, it's seen as kind of push up the table massively.
It's amazing, Nicky, when you look over your achievements this year as well. When you look over the past few years, you know, the players you've lost, I'm thinking about the kind of like Lyndon Dykes, Declan Gallagher, must have been big players at Livingston, both now probably established internationalists, you know, but even still, you're still managing, you know, to compete at the top end.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, you've named day two there, but even from last year, you know, I mean, Stephen Wallace scored double figures last year for us. We lost him a couple of years ago. Liam Kelly obviously left the club. Craig Halkett left the club. So the recruitment at the club has been good, and I don't just say that because they brought me in, but the recruitment it has been to replace players like this. And obviously Lyndon's went on and done brilliant. And I don't really know the boy Declan, but he's obviously went in and done brilliant for Motherwell and then for Scotland, especially kind of just as the qualifiers there for the Euros. It was different class. So
yeah.
I think any club in Scotland, and I include probably the two big clubs in that, if you were to take two international players out of their squad, you know, they would suffer. They would find it hard, especially for us last year and how big an influence Lyndon was to the way we played, everything about the club. He probably epitomised the club last year. And to lose him, unfortunately, listen, he's been on a big, massive club down in England as well. So you kind of got to wish him well. But to lose that and, as you said, still maybe produce the results that we've managed to produce has been brilliant for everyone connected.
Absolutely. Huge testament to the players, the coaching staff, everyone at the club. And I guess when you know you've got that core of good people there, it makes weeks like this all the more enjoyable. And I'm sure there's a great amount of optimism around the club well ahead of the weekend.
Yeah, definitely. And it genuinely feels like you're going to obviously it's a massive game, cup final, national cup final. The club doesn't, unfortunately, we don't get too many of them. But it genuinely does feel like you're going into it with your pals. It doesn't feel like you're going in with, oh, it's my teammates, it's just boys from Livingston. It genuinely does feel like you're going in with boys that obviously I've played with a few of them before Livingston, and obviously there's a couple of boys were down at Walsall with me for the last 3 years or the three previous years as well. So Forrest came from there, So it was. It genuinely does feel like you're going to play the game with your friends, and I think that's why if we can hopefully manage to get a good result, I think it would probably make it even more special.
Absolutely, and I guess with all that to come, and you're still you're doing a bit of coaching as well at the minute with Rossville, is that right at the minute?
Yeah, I'm doing coaching with Rossville's under 20s. Unfortunately, it's kind of been stop start just with the rules maybe changing every couple of weeks or whatever it is. But I mean, Rossville have been brilliant with me. The first team manager, David Gormley, he's had me in training with the senior team as well, letting me take kind of parts of that, which is brilliant. You know what I mean? It's a kind of totally new experience, a total different type of coaching to what I was used to before. You know what I mean? Being in the community and, as I've said, kind of coaching 2, 3, 4 year olds is completely different to now, because Rossville, they're obviously in the, because of the new league, they're in the professional setup, they're in the pyramid system that they could become a league club. So to kind of get the opportunity to go in coaching with them as well, it's been brilliant. And also just trying to keep myself busy in terms of coaching and management. I do a university course at Edinburgh Napier University, applied management, which has been brilliant as well. It's kept me, as I said, kept me busy and maybe helping me kind of learn about the relationships that, you know, I mean, you need to form in football and maybe just in life in general. But, you know, I mean, gives you all the kind of background to the stuff, you know, I mean, players don't probably see and how hard it is to be a coach, to be a manager.
Yeah. Well, we're hearing, Greg, from a player who's got this right on the horizon, a cup final, but he's speaking about, you know, his work he's doing out with it and the determination, the work ethic that he's got. Current C license holder as well, I believe, and it's a, you know, a lot for
quite. But he spent the last two nights doing his physical prep, didn't you? I think as well. So you're right, Lewis, all that stuff and working towards his C license. We've got a partnership now with Napier as well. I know the degree that Nicky's talking about. Well, they try and get players involved in it. So I feel as if I'm talking to a 37-year-old rather than a 27-year-old. You know, just you know, that kind of mapping out a career. And I think Napier talk about dual careers, you know. Yeah. You know, should anything, God forbid, ever happen in the playing side of things, then, you know, Nicky started coaching. He started getting all... We talked about 10,000 experiences earlier as a player. Okay, now maybe start talking about him as a coach, because he's done the mini kickers. He's now doing that under 20s. He's doing his coach education, and that's testament to him as well, because a lot of players maybe leave it, I think, too late in their careers, and as well as a degree. So, as you say, Lewis, fantastic work effort and endeavour behind a playing career.
Yeah, because it'd be very easy, and I'm sure a lot of players out there could just become wrapped up in their own wee bubble, particularly ahead of a national final. So a lot of respect for you there, mate, for sure. And I guess as we kind of bring it to a wrap, really, Nicky, I just want to say thanks from me and Greg, and ahead of such a big week, how are the nerves as well?
Yeah, I'm okay just now, to be fair. I'll maybe be a bit more nervous when we do the team in Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, and as long as I'm in it, I'll maybe start feeling a bit more nervous then. But no, it's a great occasion for both clubs to go, and there's a real kind of opportunity for both clubs to go and get their hands on a bit of silverware, and hopefully, if we play well, we'll be able to come out on top on Sunday.
Absolutely.
Hamden's a big park, but no problem with you with that big engine.
Yeah. I think my kind of semi-long throw gets reduced even more at Hamden. a bit too wide. But listen, I think we've just got to kind of look at it as, listen, we're just playing St Johnstone again, and it's just in a bigger stadium. That's the way kind of we've got to look at it, and hopefully that'll be enough to get us a result.
It's a shame you've not got any fans though, Nicky, isn't it? It's just a shame the times we're living in just now.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing. It's not, I don't mean sad, but the fact that, as you touched on earlier, kind of the commitment like all my family's had throughout, I mean, my full career. Hopefully this will not be my last National Cup final, but if it potentially is going to be my one and only, obviously I'd love to have all my family there to see it. But listen, there's bigger things going on in the world, unfortunately, just now than football and cup finals. But it would have been definitely nice for everyone to be there.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Nicky, wish you all the very best at the weekend.
Absolutely. And
thank you very much for joining us on the podcast. We appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you. Thanks for having me again. Thank you.
Thanks, Nicky. Top man.